You may be seated as we now invite Hannah up for her faith talk.
Hello, my name is Hannah Cantrell, and I would like to tell you a few things about myself. I was born with hypoplastic left heart syndrome. What it means is that the left side of the heart doesn't work as well as the right side. With this condition, surgeries are very necessary, and so I had my first surgery on August 22, 2006. It was a very life-threatening surgery, and so I was baptized 2 days before. I have been a member of St. John's Sand Prairie since I was a few months old, and I started going to Good Shepherd Lutheran School in preschool. We learned many things in confirmation this year. For example, we learned about the Apostles' Creed. I chose the second article of the Apostles' Creed, which states that Jesus is true God and true man. One thing that proves that Jesus is God is that he did miracles. His ability to perform miracles is greater than any prophet's. For example, when Elijah raised the widow's son, he had to stretch himself over the child 3 times before he was raised from the dead. When Jesus raised people from the dead, he just told the person to stand up and they did. Also, none of the prophets calmed a storm or walked on water like Jesus did. When the prophets died, they went to heaven. After Jesus died, he rose from the dead. No other prophet could raise themselves from the dead. My confirmation verse is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, plans to give you a future and a hope. I chose this verse because it is a reminder to me that God is always with me and that everything happens for a reason according to God's plan. I know that my faith in Christ will be with me forever. When I doubt that he is there, I just have to remember that he will be with me no matter what because he loves me. In my life, I have faced many challenges, but my faith in God has kept me strong. Thank you all for listening to my faith talk.
Let us begin this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, you see that of ourselves we have not strength. By your mighty power, defend us from all adversities, that we may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts that may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our service now continues with our reading.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and you and all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all the possessions that they had gathered, the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent. Bethel on the east, Ai on the west. I've got that backwards. And then he built up an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward Negev. Now the epistle lesson is from Romans 4, 1 through 8 and 13 to 17. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted him as righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counseled, is counted as righteousness. Just as David also spoke of the blessing of the one who to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. The promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of God and in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. That's the reading.
Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. In our gospel lesson for the second Sunday in Lent, Jesus brought hope and the promise of a new birth and everlasting life to Nicodemus, and today to all believers. It's found in the book of John, chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And reading the last two passages together, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel. You may be seated for the next hymn, Jesus is our Cornerstone.
Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love watching HGTV. I've mentioned that here before. It's something about the home sales and the building of homes. It's interesting. Not that I'm gifted at such things. In fact, I'm terrible at such things. But I do enjoy watching the shows. Even when it's colder outside, you can watch the like House Hunters in Bahamas. And that's just fun because then you can think of like warm weather and beaches. But they also have remodeling shows. And not all of them are on HGTV per se. One of them in particular, I remember. And I remember the scenario very clearly. I can't remember exactly which show it was on. But the contractor had taken their money and started a job, but didn't quite finish it. Well, actually, didn't even really get started. And so this other contractor was trying to fix the mess. But he had this couple that wanted an open concept home, and the contractor kept talking and saying, you can't do that, or at least not with that budget. You simply can't do it. And finally, when push comes to shove, he finally said, look, that's a main load-bearing wall. If you take out that wall the way you want to do it, your house is going to crumble and fall. Or at the very least, it's going to be compromised quite significantly. You see, the main load-bearing wall in a house is much sturdier wall. It's meant to give support to the house. You cannot simply just remove it. You got to do certain things to prepare the house to remove such a wall, if you can even do it at all. This is what he was trying to explain to this poor couple, this poor not-so-happy couple at all. When we look at the letter to Romans, it covers so many topics. Paul, writing to the church, is covering quite a bit of ground. He's not had a lot of interaction with this church, and he's trying to cover all kinds of stuff as he kind of goes through. But one of the main points that he comes back to over and over again is make sure you know what your load-bearing wall is. In many of the churches, lies had begun to creep in. Misuse of God's word, especially of God's law. People had begun to use these things like they were the fundamental, the main element of everything. That is to say, they were using God's law as if their righteousness depended on it. They were putting all the weight of their salvation on the law of God and not on the work of Christ Jesus. It probably didn't happen overnight. And this is one of the problems that you face with biblical interpretation. When you have a book of the Bible, you're seeing the end product. Paul is writing to this group because something has happened or something has occurred. And so it may have taken years to develop, but Paul is handling where they were at that particular time. And that's one of the things that we see. We're seeing a problem that may have taken years to develop in the church in Rome. Much of the confusion comes about because of the Jewish converts, those that had converted from Judaism into Christianity. While they accepted that Christ was the Messiah, they wanted to maintain many of the old laws of their Jewish heritage. Over time, those laws began to take the place of grace. That is to say, that when you think about this and the stress of their salvation, what was the load-bearing wall? Well, over time, it had become the law of God, what you did and how you did it. That was what was important, not so much the grace found in Christ Jesus. As Paul writes, there is an important distinction that needs to be made. The law of God is not bad. It is a good thing. It is a gift from God to us. It shows us our transgression. It shows us our sin. But righteousness is not done through the law. Righteousness is done through Christ and His work. Even in the Old Testament, something that the Jews knew very well, Paul explains and expresses this very same idea. Abraham took God's word and his promises as the truth, even though time and time again it became clear that Abraham didn't always understand even the promises that God was making. He didn't understand fully what was going on. Abraham clings to the promise. He clings to the unknown and trusts God above all things, and it is counted to him as righteousness. Even here, it isn't about one's ability to keep and maintain the law. It isn't about what you do, but it is instead about God's promises given to you. As this contractor was trying to explain over and over again to this couple who wanted to knock out this wall, and how the house could possibly come tumbling down, which is the purpose, as we think about ourselves and our own situations, it's important that we ourselves can dwell on this. What do we have in our own lives that have become load-bearing walls that really never should have been? What is the one thing that if you kicked it out in your own life would bring your entire world crashing down? Has something crept in? Probably took years to do so, slowly but surely. There are so many things in this world that can begin to take that place and take that stress that really never should have that place. One of the things that has become apparent over the last several years is that outside of the church, and sometimes even inside it, but outside of the church, a lot of things have crept into people's lives that should never be load-bearing walls, but yet they are used that way. How often have we seen stories of people's lives crashing down because of a sports scandal or because of something in politics that doesn't quite play out the way that they had hoped it would have? What have you built up? What have you created in your own life that has slowly become a foundation? You see, sin has a way of doing that, doesn't it? We can take something that is good, even the law of God, even something that is a gift from God, the way that God wants us to act, and we can change it, and we can place it into a place that only God should really have. When we think things through, if we find something that has crept in, Paul's words become just as powerful for us as they were back then. If there is something in our life that stands in the place of God, it needs to be removed. Instead of relying on all the other things around us, even the good things, we need to rely instead on the promises of God. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to understand all the details and every part of it. Instead, we need to trust in the promises of God. We need to place our faith and trust in God. And it is through that faith that God gives to us grace. He gives to us righteousness. It is through Christ that He gives us the forgiveness of sins and salvation. That is what we cling to. We cling to the promises of God, the promises that God gives to us through Christ Jesus our Lord. We cling to the promises that are given to us. It isn't quite like Abraham. Abraham had to look to the future, and he didn't always know what was going on, but he trusted it. On the other hand, we look to the past. We look at what God has done, what God has fulfilled, what God has given to us, and we rest in that promise that God has given for us, that God, through Christ Jesus, will forgive our sins, that through Christ Jesus will give us salvation, that through Christ Jesus we have eternal life. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand as we now confess our sins before God, our Heavenly Father, in the words of a prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come before You today, Lord, because we are sinful and unclean. We have sinned in our thoughts and our words and our deeds. We have placed things in our lives as foundations that have never should have been there. We come before You this day, Lord, because we are sinful. And we beg of You the mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear us now as we confess our sins to You in a brief moment of silence. Hear us, O Lord. Have mercy on us, O Lord, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. In His name, amen. Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, Very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated as our service now continues with our gifts and our offerings. If you could find that book of friendship found on the side by the aisle, sign that, get to know the people around you, that'd be great.
Help them to have a spirit of respect for one another, especially for you. great physician, and to your loving hands we commend to you Dean Schaefer, who is a patient at Unity Point Methodist. And we pray that you would give patience and peace to our members who are homebound, Rosalie Baker, Grace Bornoff, Ron Frederick, George and Sue Malaccio, Arlene Miller, Nancy Nannon, Joyce Darkjohann, Harold Tepke, and Mary Urge. Loving God, bless Rose Singley, Evelyn Tisdale, and Arlene Miller, who are celebrating birthdays this week. Keep Rose, Evelyn, and Arlene in your loving care in the year ahead. As we pray daily for families of our congregation, gracious God, this morning we offer special petitions for the Hasty, the Hetzel, and the Herman families, that you would enrich their lives with your undying love. Ever-living God, bless all those who partake of the meal you have prepared for us this morning. As we receive your Son's body and blood, help us to sincerely believe that all our sins have been washed away through his death on the cross. Father God, to Nicodemus, your Son brought hope and the promise of a new birth and everlasting life. Give to us the same hope and confirm in us faith in the same promise that we may have confidence in your grace and trust you to provide all things needed for this body and life and for everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new testament of my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. You may be seated as our service continues with Holy Communion. Please remember that the blessing at the end will actually be reserved for the very end of the, for after everybody has communed. So that's that'll do the general flow.
The wine and the bread that was broken. The sun comes up, it's a new day.
Please stand for the blessing. And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you unto the one true faith, which is a life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now let us pray. We give you thanks and praise, Lord, that you have refreshed us with this salutary gift. And then we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us the same in faith and love towards you and also love towards others. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance up upon you and give you peace. Amen. At this time, you may be seated.
I have a letter I would like to read for you this morning. This is an edition of a letter that I read to the Senior Elder Committee this past week, and I would like to read it for you this morning before we wrap up our worship time together. To the congregation of St. John's Lutheran Church. Prayer is something that should always be actively present in our lives, though admittedly, there are times where it seems to be much more fervent and much more critical than others. This is the type of prayer I've been experiencing the last several months. I say this to assure you beyond a shadow of reasonable doubt that what I'm about to share with you is the result of seeking God's guidance and counsel as intentionally as I am able. I have searched, yet have found no way to say this without finding some shortcoming or imperfection in my words. Please, therefore, forgive me if you find some offense or imperfection in what I'm about to say. Through deliberate prayer and spiritual guidance, I have decided to request a peaceful release from my call here at St. John's Lutheran Church. Extraneous circumstances make setting a date of departure impossible at this time. However, barring further developments, I plan to stay on staff through the month of May. I say this bluntly so as to not beat around the bush, though in my heart, it is not a statement I make so easily. For almost 2 years now, you and the congregation of St. John's have been like a family to me. I have felt welcomed, embraced, supported, encouraged, and valued. You have made the beginning of my ministry a truly invaluable experience, and one that I know will be the ideal foundation in my future. It is for these reasons and so many more that this decision has been so incredibly painful for Rachel and myself. For all the right reasons, you have made leaving an almost impossible decision. Were it not for fervent prayer, both on the part of my family and of others, I'm certain my openness to God's path would have been willfully blind because of the people I have grown to love here. I am so grateful that his plan brought me to St. John's, and I know my time here will serve me well in the future. While I leave this family, I do so to begin one of my own. Family has always been and always will be a priority in my life. I prioritize my call to my family, and in this case, to my future spouse, above all else. Rachel and I have both come to the conclusion that God is leading us to Texas. Rachel has been tremendously successful in her career path there, and I simply could not be more proud of her. Nonetheless, an obvious predicament faced us, and so we turned to God for his guidance. I can honestly say before you and before God that we would not be starting our family in Texas if we believed that God was not pointing us there. She was willing to move here, and I there. The rest was and is up to God. Along with her career path, God has also opened doors for me in Texas in the area of ministry. Next weekend, I will be traveling to Texas to interview for a ministry position at Gloria Day Lutheran Church. The pending developments of this position could influence the remaining extent of my time on staff at St. John's, which is why I will continue to keep you and the senior elders informed as to the developments. I have been open with Pastor Chris with every step of this process, and I am invaluably in his debt for the support and encouragement he has provided for me during one of the most difficult decisions of my life. I write these words to you because I care too much for this congregation to leave something of this significance up to the spontaneous thoughts in my head. I am incredibly grateful for all that with which I have been blessed in my time here. Please know I plan to continue the diligence of my ministry until my final day here. I pray God's love, blessings, and guidance upon everyone here in the coming years. Thank you for all you've done for me and for allowing me to serve you as your Director of Christian Education. Sincerely, Matthew Quartz.
Before we have any songs or anything for that, I wouldn't mind if you guys would join me in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, Lord, you have blessed us with Matt this last couple years, and we just give you thanks and praise so much for that. And this is news that we definitely don't want to hear, but we also rejoice in all the great things that he has coming and that are coming in the future. Lord, we just ask that you would continue to bless him and that you would bless his ministry and that you would bless his journey of faith as he heads down to Texas. Lord, we also ask that you would keep your almighty hands around us here, that you would continue to just be with us, make your presence known for us, and guide us ever forward, knowing all that Jesus has done for us, and have us ever focus on him. Lord, we ask that you would keep your almighty hands around Matt during this time. While even though he's leaving for good reasons, Lord, it's still challenging. And we just ask, Lord, that you would continue to be with him. And Lord, just keep your almighty hands around all of us during this time, that you would continue to be with us and continue to make your presence known, that we may ever focus and proclaim all the more the great things that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. In his name, amen.
she was sleeping when I left.